And then one other thing that we want everybody to be aware of that's coming up, an opportunity for everyone. On October 30th, we're going to be beginning something a little bit different here at the Community Church. We're going to start life groups. Life groups. So on Wednesday night, October 30th, can somebody say October 30th?
October 30th.
October 30th, we're going to have an opportunity to kickstart our life groups in different locations, a few different places, in Point Lookout, in Long Beach, in Freeport. Jesus said, as recorded by the Apostle John, I came that you might have life. And these life groups are an opportunity or an on-ramp to connect and to have life. Right, Harper? Say amen. Amen. She said it. You might not have heard her. So these life groups are going to be monthly gatherings, once a month, to gather in community with other believers. What's going to be going on in life groups? I'm so glad you asked. Life groups are going to be about an opportunity to be and to build the community that we're called to be and to build. We're going to have an opportunity to pray together. We'll have an opportunity for fellowship, to get to know other believers. So that if someone walks through the door, we can say, hey, man, on October 30th, here's a chance to meet some other people. Here's a chance to pray together. As the group leaders are going to, as they see fit, there may be time for Bible study. There will be discussion about the Sunday morning services and what's going on and how it connects to our lives. And are we assimilating the scriptures that we're understanding? Are we really, what difference is making in our lives if we gather on a Sunday morning and read these scriptures? Are we relating to it? Is it having meaning and bearing? Is it bearing fruit in our lives? Jesus said, you know, some of these, the word of God, it falls along by the wayside on some people. It's kind of lost or gets choked by cares of the world. This is the way where we can come together and say, hey, don't let it get choked out. Remember, here's what we're talking about on Sunday. Here's what's going on. Don't let it get snatched away by the enemy. It's going to fall on good soil, I'm believing. And God says there's going to be a return for his word, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold return. So these life groups are a chance to connect. Listen, everybody, you are strongly encouraged. I'll get down on my knees and beg you to go. It will make a difference. I don't care. It's not about compulsion. It's not about prodding you. It's about pleading with you to see an opportunity to connect with people. It's about seeing an opportunity. Here's a first step we can take in building community. We've been talking about it for so long. Here's a chance. Here's an opportunity. We're not asking that people meet every week and all these different commitments. We're just asking, would you get together once a month with some other believers so they can pray for you, so they can encourage you, so that maybe you can encourage somebody else. Maybe somebody else who needs to hear it, needs to have that encouragement. This will be an opportunity for you to be involved in that kind of ministry with other people. So that's what you can expect, and we just pray that everyone will be on board with that. Well, who knows what today is? Anybody? Sunday? That's a good answer. It's a day the Lord's made. I love it. Who knows what way? Gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you listen and you believe, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit. Promise was given as a pledge of our inheritance. You have inheritance. If you listened, you heard the message. If you believed it, he says you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that pledge of our inheritance. It's like the guarantee of your inheritance. You're not there yet, Paul said. It's not like I've already obtained it, so I pressed on towards it, though. I'm on a journey towards that. That's where I'm going. That's where I'm heading. Who's on a journey today? If we've heard the message and received it and been sealed with the Holy Spirit, we're on a journey towards that promise that's going to be our inheritance someday. But we don't have it yet, so for now, we're on a journey. For now, we're called to occupy until he returns. We're called to walk by the Spirit, right? We're called to walk by the Spirit until we receive that. So in this part of the journey, we're stuck together.
Amen.
You're stuck with me for this part of the journey. I don't know if it's just today. I don't know how long the Lord will tarry or where our lives will lead us, but we're here today. We're stuck together. Hope you're happy to be stuck. Everyone over 45 knows what I'm talking about here. Happy to be stuck with you. But we're stuck together on this part of the journey. You know, Week before last, I was away, and I found myself hiking through the desert. I don't sleep well when I'm away or on my bed. I don't sleep well in my bed, let alone not in my bed. So getting older, whatever it is, being a grandpa, having more things to think about, I don't know what it is. So I was up early one morning, and I was on this hike through the desert, still dark, before the sun was up. It's 3 hours different out west. And so, you know, if I'm up at 6 a.m., 5, 6 here, then I'm up at 3 or 4 over there. It's just the way it works. My wife gets mad that I try to stay on East Coast time. But I was experiencing some of the typical challenges and joys you might expect of hiking through the desert. There were beautiful views, but there were weary feet, right? There were beautiful vistas that were amazing as the sun was rising. But when you try to gain a couple of thousand feet of elevation, when you're already a mile in the sky, it is difficult, and it's arduous on that journey. It's difficult on that hike, again. And I'm saying, man, what a metaphor for life this hike is. What a metaphor for life. There's all these beautiful opportunities that you pass along the way, things that you would never have the opportunity for if you weren't willing to climb up the mountain. You're willing to get out of bed and get going and start moving and hiking and willing to work and wise and doing all the things that you need to do, working hard but resting, hydrating, making sure you got what you need, right? Making sure you have directions on the journey, making sure you stay on the right path. And let me tell you, it was dark sometimes, and man, I deviated from that path a couple times. Man, I gotta retrace and get back to the right path. All of a sudden you realize you're alone in the dark and you don't know where you are. It's like, well, hold on a second. I better make sure I'm on the right path. And we're all on a hike. We're all on a trip. We're all on a journey. No matter how you account for it, naturally and spiritually, you're on a hike today. You're going somewhere, I promise you that. Everybody, you look at Scripture. David was on a hike. Kevin spoke about it the week before last, a little bit about his journey. Moses was on a journey. Jesus himself was on a journey. Paul recounts his hike at the beginning of Galatians. He said, God set me apart in my mother's womb. Here's the path that I was on from the very beginning. But then he deviated from that. He was on his own path for a while. He was persecuting the believers. And God had to knock him off his horse literally. He said, dude, you're not on the right path. Better get back on this one that I have for you. And so he turned around and he got back on the right path. And then he says in Galatians, I went to Arabia, I returned to Damascus. 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem. Then I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia. And it goes on and on about his hike, about his journey. Well, with each of these journeys, there's a beginning, there's toil and effort, there's high points, there's low points, there's missteps along the way. There's a need for supplies, all these things. Have you ever gotten off the path? Have you ever had to retrace and say, wait a minute, I've got to find my way back to this thing, to the right path? Sometimes we try to blaze our own trail. Any trailblazers here today? A couple of willing hands. And trailblazers should own it, man. Trailblazers own it. Sometimes we try to blaze our own trail because we're bored with straight and narrow things. Sometimes. And when we find ourselves out there, we need to find our way back to the right path. And just like a hike in the wilderness, this journey that we're on, we have some tools at our disposal. We have some things that can help us on the right path to get back to the right path. And I want to talk about a few of those today. And the first thing that we have on the trail to help keep us on that right path is the path mark. You know what? I'm just going to hang on to this here. It's the path mark. Can you see here the path going through the woods? Does anybody know where this is?
Bear
Mountain. Anybody ever listen? Cold Spring Harbor. My man knew. Yes. Cold Spring Harbor. Exactly right. I feel there's we keep getting an error message in this bulb that has to be replaced. So unfortunately, it's not real bright here. We may need to do something for our audio video department next year. We'll see that. But this is Cold Spring Harbor. Bright enough for an experienced hiker who's been on the trail to recognize what it is and where it is. Now, you'll see the trail goes up here through the woods, goes around, and if you'll notice right here, see that? It's a little path mark right there on the trail. It's not real big, you can miss it, I promise you. If you're going too fast, you'll miss the path mark. But you'll see it right there. Sometimes there are path marks, paint marks on the ground, like this one right here. That path mark there, it's a little clear to see. See right here, it's nice. You know, it's amazing. People walk on those things, they get covered up. You're trying to see, where's the marker, trying to stay on the right path. But one of the things you have at your disposal to help keep you on the path is the path mark. It's to help you stay on the path so you reach your destination. Tells you a little something about the person who designed it because they know where you're supposed to go and the best route that you're supposed to take. It's going to get you to the destination, the place you're going. Pay close attention to the path marks. You'll keep on your path and you'll get there. No question about it. They've been placed there so you can find your way. And in this way, these path marks kind of remind me of the law. Remind me of the scripture, like the Ten Commandments. They tell you which way to go, which way not to go. They're pretty clear. They're like crying out for your attention on the trail. And it's like, man, you're looking for those, right? You need to know those cycles, those path marks. Man, am I on the right trail? For everybody who wants to stay on the straight, narrow path, for everybody on that way to a destination, you got this great tool to help you stay on the right path, to help show you which way to go. And if you follow it, I promise you, you'll stay on the path. They're so apparent, even people who aren't on the path with you, they're familiar with the path marks. People who would be in the world and who aren't following after the Lord or maybe aren't going on this same destination, they're familiar with these path marks. They see them. They're so clear and it's so obvious. Yet sometimes they're obscure. Sometimes, just like the word can be misunderstood, misrepresented, or covered over. Sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we're in such a hurry. Blaze a new trail right on through that mark and find ourselves at some point off the path. I'll give you an example. Any ladies in here had it like up to here with your husband this week at any point?
Yeah.
What? Oh, there's at least one. Amen. I see that. Honey, it's okay. You can't see my wife. She's very still. Right? You probably wanted to strangle him at some point, right? He was off the path, I'm sure. You want to bring him back to that path and strangle him. But then there's this path mark for you that says, thou shalt not strangle your husband. Right? There's this path mark that says, hey, you know what? Things are bad. But we're going off the path here. Here's something else. Man, I missed it. And I'm going, Jesus said, if you even look upon or think it in your heart, right? This man, we thought the Old Testament law was a high standard. Man, this New Testament law said, man, if you just think or have that hatred in your heart, let alone act on it. Wow. I'm marking the path and I'm showing you the right way to go back to here. So if no husbands were strangled, you have a good marriage, right? It's like you have a good marriage this week. But what kind of metric would that be to gauge relationship? No one got killed. Isn't this great? What a great marriage we have. No one got killed. You see, the path mark will keep you on the path and get your attention. And if you follow it, you're going to stay on that path, but it doesn't necessarily, in the same way, just following that rule lead to a great marriage. No, it's one metric, but that's not the whole thing. And guess what? It's not the case. The point isn't to coexist so that you don't strangle each other. God has something more, something better in mind. But he has the path mark just to remind us when we're off that path. But that mark, though it will keep you on the path, it's not the reason you're on the path. It's not the reason, is it? And you know that Jesus said the letter kills. The letter of that law, it kills. Now, how ironic is this? The scripture, the law says, thou shalt not kill. He says, but the letter kills. Think of it this way. Here's another kind of half mark on the trail. You might see a sign that's written in nice letters. That's easy to see. That's great. You see a mountain in the back. Over Over here on the right, you see this little pile of rocks? It's called a cairn. Anybody familiar with this? It's a pile of rocks that will mark the way. Also another kind of power that you can have. But tell me, you can see the mountains in the background. And I wish this projector could do it justice. But you see the mountains in the background. Now imagine if your whole journey, all you're doing is just looking at the path mark. I'm just keeping my eyes fixed. Man, I don't want to get lost, right? I don't want to get off the path. I don't want to get myself into trouble. I'm just going to keep my eyes on the path mark, and surely I'll get to where I'm going eventually. Right? But this isn't the point. This isn't the purpose of my journey. There are things I'm supposed to experience. There's a destination to which I'm going. And if I don't at least take the opportunity to look and enjoy what's out there, I'll be stuck looking at the rock pile. Where's your attention? Where's your focus today? Is this journey that we're all on, is it feeling like a rock pile? Or is it feeling like, man, there's a place that I'm going, and yeah, I need that path mark to keep me grounded, to keep me over here, but that's not the reason I'm here. I'm not here for that. No, that's here for me to stay on this path and to see this the right way. So at your disposal, you have the path mark. But it's not the reason. You're here for the destination, and you're here for the experience that you're supposed to have along the way. You don't want to deviate too far from that path, but you don't want to get so fixated on the path mark that you begin to mistake that for being your reason you're here. You're supposed to experience things like love, joy, peace, beauty. Are we experiencing those things in our lives, or are we experiencing just the rock pile? Father, I pray that we would see you in this journey. Father, we know we're on our way to a destination, Father, and we would experience you along the way, Lord, that these things that you've intended to help us and to keep us on the path would help us, Lord, but we wouldn't lose sight of it and misunderstand that that's our reason for being on the path. Help us, Lord. Doesn't mean that we disregard the path marks, does it? We still have to know the right path, and there are good things for us. They're just not a reason for being there. But sometimes when it's marked, when it's misunderstood, or when, I'll tell you what, you can be out there in the heat, being short on water, just looking for that next pile of rocks, and you don't see it. You don't see it. It's a frantic feeling, I'm telling you. You're exhausted. You need to see that. But sometimes you can't see it. So the next thing you have at your disposal is a landmark. Landmark could be a river. It could be, in this case, it could be an arch. And you get to that point and you know exactly where you are. And there are so many other things that are referenced by that landmark. It's not that little pile of rocks. You're not just looking down in the dirt anymore, looking for paint or something. Oh, make sure I stay on the path. No, you're actually beginning to enjoy the journey. You're actually saying, man, there's so beautiful here. Not only is it beautiful, but it also tells me where I am and helps me get reference to where I'm going. And that's what the landmarks are. A landmark is something organic. It's something compelling, not just the letter of the law, but now it's the spirit. Now it's the spirit of the law. How many of you have read the scripture and you're reading the letter, but the spirit jumps out at you, and man, that's a landmark. It's like, man, now I really get what this is about. Amazingly, they coincide in the written word and in that spirit of God that's in us. And it jumps off the page, and all of a sudden we're like, wow, now I'm beholding beauty, and I know exactly where I am. Not supposed to just be the rock pile. It's supposed to be a landmark that we see along the way. And it's so encouraging, and it's so compelling. You know, Paul tells the Corinthians that the Spirit gives life, right? And those moments, we see that landmark, and everything seems to come into order, and the perspective that we have is so compelling, it's so inspiring. It was worth all the hard work. It was worth those times where I was just looking in the dark, looking at the little paint mark, but when I get to that landmark, it says, here's where you are, and here's how it's supposed to be. You're supposed to experience life in this, not just death, like the letter. Father, would you grant us a spirit-filled word as a landmark in our lives to lead us on the path and the journey towards the destination that you have for us, Lord. And not just in the end there, but on the way, I pray, Father, for landmark moments in our lives as we look into your word. And Lord, when we're off the path and we go back to your word and see those path marks, Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would fill us up. And in Jesus' name, you'd empower us to know and to be what you want us to know and to be. Amen. We'd experience that beauty and that glory to which you called us. Because it all points to you. Thank you, Father, for the path mark and the landmark. So those are two resources we have on our journey that you have on your hike. And there are two more that I want to remind you about this morning. The next one is this. It's help from an experienced traveler. When I put that picture of Cold Spring Harbor up there, an experienced traveler said, I know just what that is. And with a room full of people saying, well, what world is that? There's somebody who's experienced and says, I can tell you where it is. I can tell you where I've been there. I've walked this road before. So you have the path mark to help you. You have the landmark that's amazing and invigorating when you see it. But even then, sometimes, I haven't seen that landmark in a while. I'm off the path and I'm by myself. There's nothing better than the sound of an experienced traveler saying, are you okay? Do you need some help?
Amen.
Do you know where you are? Do you have enough of what you need? So God gives us one another. This is our hope with life groups starting up next month. There might be a weary traveler in here saying, man, I need some help on the journey. I feel like I'm lost and I'm on my own. I don't see any path marks. I missed a landmark or it's dark and I can't see. These life groups will be an opportunity for us to connect and to help each other in life and to breathe life by God's grace. Kevin said it a couple of weeks ago. God's given us grace to help and to minister to one another. God's glorified in that. We're supposed to experience that life that comes from God. And the praise goes back to God for who he is and what he does. The law says you didn't follow the path mark, did you? You couldn't see the landmark that was right there in front of you. But he says one another. No, you who are spiritual, come restore. Bring it back. Bring it back to the path. That's the idea that we're in this together. That you're not alone in the dark, frustrated without supplies. A couple years ago, while I was on one of these wilderness trails, I found myself alone and short on supplies and long on discouragement. It's a harrowing feeling when it is the heat of summer, when you look in your backpack and you know how much supplies you have, how far you've gone, have an idea of how far left, but don't know exactly. All of a sudden, you find yourself. When you're going up a mountain, it doesn't matter how capable you are, at any point on that mountain, you can fall. At any point on the mountain, you can go off the path. By myself, and I wasn't sure where I was. The only thing I could think to do was retrace my steps back to where I was, try to find my way back. Unfortunately for me, I had just come up, like, descended what was the hardest descent of this hike. And so now I had to go back up because there's nobody in sight. I don't know where I am. So I have to retrace my steps of the hardest part, steepest, most treacherous part. And so I'm like, man, I'm short on supplies. I don't know what the deal is here. I better do this. And so I'm just going as hard as I can in the heat of the summer up the hardest part, jagged, all that stuff. Trying to figure something out. Is this the path? This is where I came from. Maybe I'm gonna. And when I heard the sound of someone's voice on the trail, when I heard a couple of people talking, it was like all of a sudden I was invigorated. I was encouraged.
Yes,
there's help on this journey. I'm not in it alone. Even though I don't know exactly where I am or where the path is, man, there's somebody right there. Maybe they can help me. Can you please help me? Boy,
At the beginning of every journey, everybody's bright-eyed and excited and have all the stuff they need in their boots and all these things. Everybody's happy early in the morning. Let's go do this. And without fail, every time on the way back, Ralph, like, you're coming down that, and everyone's exhausted. Everyone's like, oh, you're humble. You didn't realize, you know, these tough things. I'll tell you what, I was humble. This man asked for directions at that point. Hey! And when I heard them, and they said, oh, yeah, no, I had second guess. No, you're on the right path. Go back down again. Go back down one more time. That's the path. Are you sure? You'll see. And he told me where I was going to see a landmark, where I was going to see a path mark. I just blew by because I was in too much of a hurry. But this weary traveler was helped because another traveler who was experienced on that hike decided, I'm going to help another. You might be a weary traveler today. There's another who's willing to help you find your way back to the path. And God might call you to help one of the weary travelers. And on my way back down, now on the right path, I started thinking, this is why people have tour guides. And how easy would it be if you just, like, you know, have a tour guide, right? If you have somebody who can guide you on the path to get to your destination. And not just any tour guide. What if you could have somebody who not only knew the way, he was the way? What if you had not just the path marks and not just the landmarks and not just the one another's to help you? When the stakes are high, you know, people don't go without a tour guide. Like, you know, sure, a couple thousand feet in the desert, no big deal. But when you're talking about ascending like the highest places on earth, they wouldn't dream of going without a guide. They wouldn't dream of going on such a difficult and arduous journey, a hike, in the most extreme places on earth without path marks, landmarks, others, and without a guide. He's the ultimate tour guide. If David said the Lord's my shepherd because he had these experiences as a shepherd, I hope it's not disrespectful to say the Lord's my tour guide. The Lord's my hiker. I don't know how you want to understand him today, but God's revealed himself to me out in the desert trying to find my way back. The Lord is my guide. He says this. Psalm 32:8, I'll guide you along the best pathway for your life. I'll advise you and watch over you. Through the prophet Isaiah, he says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, this is the way. Walk in it, walk in it. Psalmist says, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Thank you, Lord, that though we may stumble, you won't let us utterly fall. Thank you, Father, that you want to lead and guide us in the way we should go. Luke records Zacharias as saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, because the sunrise from on high will visit us to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Thank you for this landmark. Thank you, Lord, that you are guiding our feet into the way of peace and down the right path. So
where do you find yourself today on your journey? Are you looking for the paint marks? Are you trying to stay on the path with those path marks? Are you experiencing His joy on the way? Are you seeing what you're supposed to see? You're experiencing the joy and the love and the peace you're supposed to experience. Do you find yourself alone and weary down the trail and not know where you are? Maybe you need help from another. Maybe you need to connect with somebody who's experienced some journey. You're not meant to do it alone. You can do that. You can do that. Connect with one of these life groups. It's going to be starting. Maybe you're the experienced one who can help somebody else. Maybe you have more supplies and say, hey, here, I got what you need. I know exactly the way to go. You're closer than you think. You're closer than you think. You can be on the right path today. You're closer than you think. So look for those path marks. Look at His word. Trust Him to speak to you through the power of His Spirit. It's not just words on a page. Ask for directions. Be willing to ask for help. And if you're willing, you can travel with your very own guide. Whatever you do, don't go it alone. And if you have any questions about what any of this means, or you need help getting back to the right path, listen, don't leave here today without coming and talking to me or coming and praying with somebody here at this altar to have an opportunity to just, they want to help you. They just want to point the way. Love one another. Serve one another. Bear with one another. Whatever you do, if you're trying to find your way back to that path, looking for that destination, you have others here who want to help you on that path today. Would you stand with me this morning? Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit at work in us.